The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. Please turn to page 103 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Allow me to read the words of God. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more that was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Amen. Let me start off with a diary of a farmer. I went out again today and scattered seed. Though I do so every day, the land becomes more and more barren and rough as days go by. My heart feels disturbed and depressed as well. My wife, my angel, who never even once said anything about it, finally blew up yesterday. She had been pressing down on her emotions all along, and she finally gave away. I don't blame her. Honey, this is just too much. They took all the good fertile lands, and then took away all the farms that we've worked so very hard to cultivate. So now we are here in this barren mountainous farm. Farm? Can you even call this a farm? Look at that. It's all stones or thorn bushes with weeds around out there. For some while, she poured out her bitterness and wept. I was also crying on the inside, and I tried to soothe my wife. The crops will grow well. They'll probably grow 100 times more. Honey, let's go sow the seed again tomorrow. That's right. The soothing was not a consolation for my wife, but an encouragement, hope, and assurance for myself. Right. I will go sow the seed again tomorrow. This is an imaginary diary that depicts a situation that may have happened 2,000 years ago, during the time of Jesus. There are fertile plains in Israel as well. But at the time, the Romans took possession of all the fertile lands. Jewish authorities were no exception when it came to demeanor. They will take away any good enough lands using all means. Powerless and connectionless ordinary farmers of Israel were the ones to suffer. They were driven out to the barren mountain areas by severe exploitation and suppression. This was a wearisome reality of most of the farmers at the time. The path, rocky ground, and the thorns that appear in the parable of the farmer in today's passage were all the reality and daily life the farmers of the time had to endure every day. That barren mountainous land was far from a fertile plain. The outside may be covered with soil, but the inside were poor soil filled with big and small stones. In other words, rocky ground. Moreover, the barren mountainous land was surrounded with weeds. Usually seeds are sown after slightly early rainfall around November. It's a dry season until rains start to fall. During this season, the mountainous land is filled with weed thickets, or literally the thorn bushes. At the time, the farming procedure in Israel was to first scatter seed and then plow the soil. So it was normal for the scattered seed to fall on rocky grounds or over the weed thickets. In other words, the mountainous lands at the time had all four types of soil: path, rocky ground that was slightly covered with sand, thorns, and good soil. Rocky ground here, thorn bushes there, good soil here. No, the land was not divided into four different types of lands. The farmer scattered seed in one place, one farm. This was an explanation of four different types of situations happening on one single farm through today's parable. One day, Jesus sees a farmer who scatters seeds on a barren mountainous land in silence. The seed that the farmer scattered falls on the path, the rocky ground, and onto the thorns. It's a failure. It's such a hopeless reality. And yet, the farmer keeps scattering seed. He may look weary from dealing with such a barren land and from the harsh reality, but the farmer keeps scattering seed in hope and confidence. Jesus pays attention on this farmer and watches him for a while. And then he shouts out, "This is what God's kingdom looks like. The farmer's hand, the hope and eagerness of the farmer, is a characteristic of the kingdom of God." My fellow believers, we must remember that today's parable of the farmer is a parable that shows the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God, according to verse 10 of today's passage. Jesus knows this very well. Of course, he knows so very well. Wouldn't Jesus have scattered the seed of gospel numerous times? He has scattered the seed of gospel in each and every city and town. He scattered the seed of gospel over and over again to the crowd that gathered around him. Well, did they all hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop like the seed that on good soil? No, that did not happen. Some soon had the words taken away from their hearts, like the seed on the path. Some received the word with joy when they heard it, but it had no root, so they believed for a while, but in the time of testing, they fell away like the seed on rocky grounds. And some were choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they did not mature like the seed on thorns. Because Jesus was struggling with the soils of hearts of the devastated lives, just as the farmer did with the barren mountainous land, the heavy hearts of Jesus and the farmer worked in unison. But the farmer keeps scattering seed in his heavy heart. No matter how hardened the barren mountainous land may be, no matter how many rocks and pebbles there may be, and no matter how thick the thorns may be, the farmer did not stop scattering seed. He can never stop. There are definitely seeds that get lost among those that were scattered. There are those that rot and there are those that are wasted. Still, the farmer knows that the seed that fell on good soil will produce crop 100 times more than that was sown. The farmer knows that the produce of the seed on good soil will be incomparably greater than those that fell on the path, the rocky grounds, and the thorns. Although a bad land, the farmer knows from his experience what a great miracle the power of life contains inside that seed. And so, the farmer keeps scattering seed. There are various types of lives mixed inside that crowd that gathered up around Jesus. Those that are like the path, those that are like the rocky ground, those that are like the thorns, and those that are like the good soil. There are different types of lives mixed up within us that gathered up here today as well. To be more frank, our inner selves sometimes are like a path, sometimes a rocky ground, and at times the thorns. One day, the words feel alive inside ourselves as if we are the good soil. And then the next day, the words are lost as if on a path, stiff and cold like a rock, or wither and fall sick from the worries and fear like the thorns. Our own mind states vary every time. It's a mess. That barren mountainous land is the land inside our hearts. And yet, God scatters seed to us. He scatters the seed of gospel. Even today, God is vigorously scattering the seed to us, foolish humans, without hesitation. There is something that sticks out from verse 5 of today's passage. The word "so" is repeated 3 times in the Korean translation. A farmer, or the sower, went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering, or sowing, the seed, this intentional word repetition is an emphasis that expresses the active behavior. Through God, the farmer, or sower, the kingdom of God had begun. God's kingdom is not some country we can make up through the outcome we have achieved by maintaining, reinforcing, and trying hard to keep good hearts on our own. It may contain the path, rocky grounds, and the thorns at times, the good soil. This kingdom of God had started when God had scattered the seed to us, weak beings. Nevertheless, the kingdom of God is realized with the life of the scattered seed, the power of life in that seed. Even today, the kingdom of God is still being built because God, the sower, is restlessly scattering seed again today. When I was serving at a military church in the past, there was this one brother who was also serving as a military soldier involved in irreligious acts, who was of a great help to me. His passion and devotion was so great that his nickname was Fire. One day, I received a call from this brother who was once called the Fire. It has been a while since I heard his voice after I was discharged from the military service, but I recognized his voice without difficulty. He's been burnt from his fire and is now left with alcohol, I thought to myself. He choked out a confession between his troubled sighs. Pastor Lim, my faith won't believe in God anymore. Where on earth is God? Was he to be pushed aside from salvation now that his heart was like a path at the time? No. Even in his path-like life, God kept scattering the seed. One day, a young sister came to see me. She was having a hard time from various hardships inside within her family. To add to the burden, distressing events kept happening at work over and over again. The hardships were so unbearable that her heart was stiffening from disappointment and despair toward herself. She yelled towards God. And then her yelling turned into a cry. I really don't understand God. God, please just leave me alone. Why do you keep trying to kill me? Why me? Is this sister a failure and loser because she fell during our hardships? No. God was also scattering his seed onto her in silence as well. There was a young couple who had their second son go through numerous operations and rehabilitations repeatedly due to his congenital defect. One day, when they had finally worn themselves out after a few years, not just one or two years, but several years, with the entire family devoting themselves for the ill boy, they sent me this text message. Pastor Lim, it's so hard. You know, today's just a day that makes us feel scared and irritated to be alive. Do you think this couple, who were swaying because life was so weary and hard, should be condemned for not having faith? Will you rebuke towards God? No. God was also scattering seed to this young, weary couple. There is a good mentor and a friend of life that I really like. He had been struggling hard working at a company where viciousness and unreasonableness was prevalent, and recently has decided to resign from his position. He was in a very good position too. But he made his decisions very stubbornly. He does not have any assured backup plans and will be trying out something he had never tried out before. And yet he said to me, Yongwan, I've become different ever since. Do you know what's different? I smile. I can now smile. It was so heartbreaking and painful to hear his confession that depicts the sorrow of all workers today. But then I remembered this one clear fact. God is definitely scattering his seed over this mentor and friend of mine as well. My dear fellow members, surely they aren't the only ones who are moaning and sighing in agony. Are our stories very different from theirs? Are the reality and daily lives that we face always just peaceful? That the pain, agony, and the sorrow that we're going through today only occur because we were lazy and ignorant? Who would want to be in a situation like this on the path? Live through the reality that is like the rocky ground, or live a pitiful life like the thorns? We all try our best to get away from such things. Just think about how much we struggle for it. Why wouldn't we want to make abundant results on the good soil always? Isn't that the image we have always wanted and hoped for? But let us remember, this is the place of our lives. The reality that is like the path, the rocky ground, and the thorns are our lives. This is our true nature, which at times shows the good soil in ourselves and then collapse them back and forth, over and over again. When the path, the rocky ground, and the thorns in ourselves are revealed, we would then confess that I would never be able to bear fruit on my own, no matter how much I try. How can a land become a good soil by itself when I cannot plow or cultivate the land myself? We will surrender to the fact that we can only bear fruits when the sower scatters the seed, no matter how much you try to be the good soil or pretend to be one. We can only hope and wish for the sower or farmer to scatter the seed on me. We are living lives that can only desperately hope for and rely on the farmer. My fellow believers, do you not hear the cry out and the persuasion of God, the sower? Do you not hear this? I am a farmer. I am the sower. I scatter seed on you again today. I scatter seed on the path, the rocky ground, and on the thorns. Even if I may lose the seed scattered on the path, even if the seed scattered on the rocky ground may rot, or even if the seed scattered on the thorns may not do its job, still I scatter the seed. Look, the seed sown on the good soil will eventually produce the crops 100 times as much. There is no need for you to be disappointed because your lives are like the path, the rocky ground, and the thorns. I still scatter seed on you. I will eventually bear fruit from you. I will make it happen. I am the sower. You cannot do it on your human flesh, but I, as God, can do this. Today is a Reformation Sunday. Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the door of the All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany, on October 31st, 1517, which criticized the selling of indulgence. The indulgence was a certificate issued to members to exempt a person's sins and punishment. At the time, the Pope and the bishops overissued the indulgences intoxicated by the power and money. They sold indulgences by telling people they can purchase salvation with money. The believers were deceived into the luring that they can even save their dead family members from the purgatory and made loans to purchase the indulgences. The Reformation that started against this move now celebrates its 500th anniversary. How are the Reformed churches, the Protestant churches, now that 500 years have passed? The Protestant churches that started the Reformation has now become the subject to another Reformation. It's been already quite some while since we heard that the most corrupted church in the Protestantism history are the Korean churches. A few days ago, I heard a joke. These days, Buddhist temples, or tal in Korean, are prospering. The Buddhist temples are reviving. Do you have any idea why? Because of the church. Because the church always pray, do not despair, let us not despair, or 절망하지 마십시오, 절망하지 않게 주시옵소서, which also sounds like do not let the Buddhist temple close down. And this is the reason why the temples are reviving. But what are we to do when the reality of the church is that they are reviving the Buddhist temples while the churches are self-destructing? What are we to do of today's reality that there are more and more Ganon believers, which is the Korean pronunciation for Canaan, who refuse to go to churches? Try reading the word backwards. A few months ago, a school friend came to me and told me that he quit preaching because he lost confidence. This is what he told me. 영환, the church is rotten. It is disgusting. Why or what? I did not ask. because it was so obvious. It wasn't something we would not know about. Martin Luther wrote in the 95 Theses that life of Christian must be about repentance. A believer must repent all the time throughout life. And the communion of repentance is a true church. But today's church is not repenting, but instead need repenting. The reality of the church today is like the path, the rocky ground, and the thorns. And is despair nothing? Is there nothing else but to despair about them? But it is still too early to give up. No, we cannot give up at all. Because still, God is scattering seed over the church on this land. He is plowing and cultivating on this land. A real reformation does not happen by making slogans, purposes, or theories, but when God scatters seeds. Let us remember, God, even today, even now, He is alive and is scattering seed over the land. As such, God is scattering seed to each and every one of us. He spreads the seed of gospel. And that seed has opened life in ourselves. Allow me to read Revelation chapter 7, 9 to 14. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. Apostle John sees a vision with big group. All people and all tribe from all countries come and bow before a baby lamb. And one of the elders asks John, "Do you know who these are in white clothes, where they are from?" And John answers, "You do." And the elder says, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." That is right. These are those who are the result of the seed that God had scattered. they have done was they went through hardship. They were in agony. They moaned. They were in despair. And they lived on. And they came out of the hardship, cleansed their clothes in the blood of the Lamb, and became white. This is the kingdom of God, my fellow believers. However hard, however suffocating, and however despaired, let us all look up to God who is the sower. Let us live on, having faith in God. Let us believe that we will also come back to life in 3 days through God the sower. God is always scattering seed upon us. Let us pray. Father God, there were times when your words were as sweet as honey and made our hearts burst with joy. And now, we have lost those words before we knew it. When we were tested, we surely fail, or frustrated, broke down and were swayed. We have no strength to win over the worries and comforts. That is right. We are like the path, the rocky ground, and thorns. Is it true that God is still scattering seed over us, towards where it seems like there isn't a single sign of good soil? Father God, in truth, we desire to bear a miraculous fruit of sowing less and yielding more. We have been deluded by the thought of yielding 100 times more than what was sown. And so we were so anxious to become the good soil, fold ourselves into believing that we are the good soils, and even did not hesitate to steal others' soil for the sake of yielding 100 times more of what was sown. We complained of why the crops cannot be yielded right away when we only scattered our seeds yesterday, and felt bitter that what we have yielded was not enough compared to what we have sown. We're so obsessed and desperate about the results. And yet, now that we see God was never in a hurry, he scattered the seed toward us in even strides, waiting patiently for us petty beings. God's eyes were never on the crops. His eyes were fixed on the soil, the good soil, and he never took his eyes off of them. No matter how late we yielded, no matter how less we yielded, God scattered seed generously all over us, the good soil. God, you are the farmer. The only reason why we can live and endure the tears and sighs of today in the life of despair and pain is because of the grace that the farmer is again sowing his seed for us. Yes, God, sow those seeds upon me again today. We yearn and thirst for the hands of God, the farmer, more than ever. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.